and was going to join, and the lady was like, well, Tanya, you're not a professional speaker.
Oh.
And that's all it took for me to go, what? And so now the PSA is growing. This is going into our fifth year now, and we're about to open up a chapter in Malaysia. We've got clients really all over the world, so I'm really excited about growth this year.
There is absolutely no grass under your feet.
I just don't want to look at myself the year before it and say I didn't do anything, you know, that I didn't accomplish anything, that I didn't personally grow.
Tanya, you are 2 for 2.
Yay! Well, you had the awesome thoughts. You were just needing to stir it up a little bit. You just don't know how you're going to help somebody today.
If you keep your eyes open, yeah. Inspiration is out there. And of course, in our cases, at food markets.
Focus on what you want the future to actually be. What do you want your business to look like? What do you want your relationships to look like? It said, don't devalue what you go through, because it is your story. Because I truly believe that everyone has a voice and a purpose on this planet to go help somebody else.
Igniting, inspiring, and evoking the fire within. You're listening to the What's Your Inspiration Podcast with Fox Beyer.
On this episode of the What's Your Inspiration Podcast, we have Barney Kramer. Barney is the founder of Strategic Management and the Strategic Management Academy, and also the New Leadership Paradigm. Barney is a lifer in strategic management. In his business, he uses the best time-tested skills and techniques to prepare leaders with real-life solutions to real-life problems. I hope you enjoy it, and here we go. Hello, and welcome to episode number 9 of the What's Your Inspiration Podcast. I'm Fox, and today I have Barney Kramer on. Hello, Barney, how are you?
Hey, Fox, how are you? I'm great out here in sunny California. I suspect there's a little snow back in your direction, I'm looking forward to, right now it's sun, that sun is shining right in my window, without a bit of snow on the ground.
You really put the old dagger in very early, Barney.
I used to go down south there to Palm Springs and play golf, and boy, by about October, most of them would be down in Palm Springs, because the ones especially when they're up in Maine or Rhode Island. So we got a foot of snow on the ground already.
That's just the way it is. We got to find the good stuff within all the dirt, like you were saying before.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
To use an expression that I don't really like all that much, it is what it is.
Yeah, I agree.
So, Barney, let's get rolling here. You have been in leadership all your life. You've spent over 40 years training leaders. Here's my first question to you. Mm-hmm. How do you define the following word, and what does it mean to you? And that word is credibility.
Credibility?
Yes.
I think credibility, I think it's really... Let's see. Let me give you the Webster's. Let me give you my definition of it. My definition is somebody that you can rely on what you that is accomplished enough in their own life to be able for somebody else to rely on what they tell you as being the facts. It's not an opinion. It's not something they've learned from somebody else, but they've been around long enough to know what works and what doesn't work, and they're credible. And you also know that they're not going to give you a bum steer. I mean, three of the greatest words in the English language that don't get used often enough are "I don't know." No sin not to know, but it is a sin to not know and to lead people to believe that you're something that you aren't. I like Popeye. I am what I am, and that's all that I am. And it's got to be a good I am.
Wow, that's a pretty solid beginning. Okay, credibility, doing what you say you're going to do. In your profession, in your world, how important is credibility?
Well, I think it's everything. In my world is all about leadership, running a business, helping people understand how to run their business, develop their business, grow their business, and certainly to have the skills to do that. And if I'm going to do that, people are counting on me. They're putting their heart and their soul and their efforts and sometimes their life savings, or sometimes somebody else is in there. And they need to know that when I tell them something, that it's something they can rely on. Reagan had a thing years ago. He talked trust but verify. I don't ever want to, and that's where the I don't know comes in. I don't ever want to tell somebody something. If I don't know, I need to be able to say I don't know. Or, the lawyerly way of putting it that says to the best of my knowledge or to the best of my ability. Nothing wrong with letting somebody know that you believe this true based on your own experience. And that's another good way to put it. Because these people are counting on you. And if you're looking for people to follow you and to be able to accomplish the results, whether it's in your business or whether it's their business, why should I follow somebody that hasn't done anything to demonstrate that they're capable of, that there's somebody that I would want to follow? Mm-hmm. And a great deal of that is about, it's not about what I say. What I say doesn't mean nearly as much as what I do. Where am I at with it? I met with somebody this morning about doing some things together, and one of the first issues we talked about, I says, quite frankly, I said, I want to know that I've got a few hot buttons in my world, and I said, I want to know that I can count on you. And you tell me you're going to do something, then I expect you to do that. If you can't do it, let me know. Don't bury your mistakes. Don't tell me lies. This world works best when we put our cards on the table and are willing to allow each other to, and it works very true. And, there's so much to learn in this world that none of us have the foggiest chance of learning everything there is to know. Somebody once asked me, they drew a circle on a piece of paper and put a dot on it. And the question was, and it was just out of the blue, mark out how much of that circle represents the full extent of your knowledge. And of course, he put a dot or she put a dot on it, and I've seen people draw off half the circle, and they said, now think about that again. You're drawing out the amount of knowledge you have out of everything that's knowable in this world and this universe, and all of a sudden you start finding people that put dots on the paper and then little bitty dots on the paper. So the moral of the story is we need each other. Regardless, you and I can walk down that same street again and again and again, and at the end of, and stop on one corner, and your experience is going to be a little bit different than mine. Your perceptions are going to be a little bit different from mine. What you're going to learn is a little bit different than mine. And of course, the longer that street becomes and the more years that we spend time on Earth, I heard you on a show a while back, and you talked about a particular personal experience that I know it wasn't a comfortable one, but it was in fact your experience, period.
Yes.
And if we're going to get the most out of the world that we live in, and I love answering questions. I get to pontificating real quickly if I'm not careful.
Go for it. Go for it. That's what we're
but
here for.
My experience.
Yes.
That's why we do these things. I just absolutely love listening to other people share their stories and share their experiences, and then find out that, gee, I've been alive a long time. And I'll tell you something, it'll be the newest person in the room or the most inexperienced person sitting in that table that will ask a question or share some particular thing that you're going, never thought of it that way.
Yes.
And we're like a bunch of snowflakes. We're all different in many ways. And I sat in a group of people where exactly that happened, and it was some kind of a participation event that we had, and somebody said, there's no such thing as advanced knowledge in this area. So what works is it's like a golf swing. You got to do three things in a golf swing, and I know baseball, you're a coach and I'm not, but I know one of the things in baseball is you can't hit what you can't see. And in golf, if you haven't got the right stance, the right position, and the right grip on the club, I don't care what you do, you'll never be any good at that, because you can't swing the club in a way that is consistent. It won't be the same. And that's a lot of what's true in anything that you do. The kicker that misses it left and misses it right, if he does it exactly the way it's supposed to be done, which isn't going to happen every time because he's a human being and he's fallible, he or she is fallible, he's never going to miss. But that's, the wind's a little different, and that's what life is all about. So there's so many variables that in so many different ways to attack the same issue. I can remember when they used to kick the football for field goals off the toe.
Yes.
Now almost everybody out there is whacking them with the side of their foot because there's more strength in it.
Gotcha.
I love that. Yeah, we did it one way for a gazillion years, and all of a sudden somebody comes. I think the first guy I ever remember was somebody from the Miami Dolphins called Garo Yeprimian.
Yes.
See, now I'm getting to know about how old you are.
Part of the 1970s. Well, let's just say this. I'm a bit of a historian, so I'm familiar with the 1972 team. I believe he was the kicker on the undefeated team. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. And he had Larry Zonka and what was it, Jim Kick?
Yes.
And I forgot. Was it Greasy? Was it quarterback?
Greasy was the quarterback. Mercury Morris also in the backfield.
Yeah. Mercury Morris and they had some great players on that team.
They did. And I think great players that trusted each other, that were honest with each other, and obviously an organization that was honest and had great leadership skills.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, you know, one of the things that we experience in life, or at least I experience, and I know because I am older now, and that's a good thing. I managed to survive the stupid things I did when I was young.
Oh, dear.
And boy, there was a lot of luck involved in that. Either that or it just wasn't my time. But, you start to realize at some point in your life that what you thought was important, what was going to make you happy, what was going to make this a well and wonderful world for you if you were like me, that isn't the answer to it. And when you find out what the answer is to it and you start getting a little older, you start realizing that I don't pick my friends in the same way that I used to. I like the people that I can be real and genuine with and that I can make a mistake with and it doesn't cost me a friendship.
Right.
I had to learn that if the only people that I had in my life were those, then that's true of a leader too. A leader who thinks that he or she has to be infallible in order to have somebody follow them is sadly mistaken, because that's not going to happen. There isn't a single person out there that's not going to make mistakes along the way. The question is, am I going to learn from my mistakes? Am I willing to listen and learn from others? And then to those become what I would call teachable moments.
Yes.
And, it used to be if I made a mistake on it, somebody pointed out to me, well, I was not happy about it. And I can mount 101 defenses as to why my way was right. And you know what? And I was pretty good at that. One of my strengths has been the ability to persuade people to see my views and perspectives on it. And I've, in my earlier days, I didn't always use that in the right way. And, I regret those times, and when it was possible, I made sure I cleaned them up. But it really is fun to say, this is what I am. And to know that you've put the hard work and the time and the energy into becoming a decent human being, whatever you're doing. You had three or four questions on that we talked about on one of the forums that we talked about. One of them, who your heroes.
We'll get into that for sure. Yeah.
And that's a tough question, because I have to tell you, I can go back and look at it. I never had anybody that I could say, that's who I wanted to be. And I'm not quite sure why, whether it was just my a certain amount of independence, but I can tell you that there's an awful lot of them that I've looked at and said, boy, would I like to be able to handle that situation like that, or would I like to be able to do it that way, or I wish I'd have thought of that answer on it. So I've, as much as I love to talk, I also love to listen, and I watched what's the guy's name, he coached for the Yankees, Tony La Russa.
Yes.
He was on Joe Buck show not too long ago, and a friend of mine asked me what he was like, and I still haven't figured him out.
Got you. Yes. He's got a great book out, and he's written a bunch of books, I'm sure you're familiar with them, but he talks about, in his job, he never, ever left his job going home at night saying, that he did everything the way he wanted it done. It was never perfect, ever.
Yeah.
And I found that interesting.
Yeah. And you know, that's troubling to somebody, and it was troubling to me in my youth. And then as I got older, I realized that it made me human. It was because I'm a human being, and I can't possibly be bright enough and smart enough and knowledgeable enough and experienced enough to be able to handle every situation that ever presents itself in the very best way. And sometimes there are more than one ways to handle a situation. But that takes enough success in life and enough maturity in life to say that it's okay to be wrong once in a while. What it's not okay to do is to be unwilling to acknowledge when the mistake is yours.
Yes.
Well, you want to find out a way to lose the troops that are following you is just be unwilling to acknowledge what everybody sees but you.
Right. If there was one, if credibility was our first key word of this podcast, I think we're talking about now accountability. That has to be another key word in this.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to be prepared to say, this is what happened, this is why I did what I did, and here's where my mistake was at.
Exactly. Now, just summarizing, and I have some experience. I was not alive during the 1972 Miami Dolphins perfect season, but I do understand that, and you say it so eloquently, that life will teach you how to live it if you live long enough. And of all the teachers in this world, I think experience is the best one. Is that agreed?
Yeah. Yeah, I would absolutely agree. In fact, I'll give you some of my my own experience.
Please do.
I've worked my entire life at starting businesses, running businesses, turning them around, different kinds, different sizes, and different places, and had a great deal of success with it. And there's been a failure or two, maybe you wouldn't call it failure under pure definition, but. Not everything worked out the way that I had hoped it would work out. Most were pretty darn successful. But I got to the point in my, and I had an executive recruiting firm for about 14, 15 years, and I did the high-end bankers and that type of thing. And was good at it, and then the industry changed, and it changed because of the technology that exists out there, and I got very frustrated with it. It was no longer about quality and about developing skills and expertise of somebody else. It was about how fast can I get a mediocre candidate in front of somebody that's going to pay me for it. And I just finally said, you know, this is not the way I want to do business. And I said, I'd rather not. And I made a decision to do something differently. And in the process of that decision, a friend of mine who's been a consultant, business consultant all his life, and worked for other people. I mean, he's done work for other people and been very, very good and very, very successful at it. And we were talking one day, and he said, well, what do you, somebody had challenged me, what do you really want to do? And I said, I don't know. And I was struggling with it. And finally, I said to him, I said, well, I'd really love to be able to take what I've learned in my life and to be able to share that with other people and help them be successful in their businesses. And a lot of that does revolve around the people part because it's the part of business I really like and love. And he said to me, he said, well, why don't you do that? And I said, you know, I don't have a degree, a PhD in economics. I've got a graduate degree. And he said, no. He says, all you've done is all the things that we talk about and teach, you've been doing them all your life.
Yes, you understand people.
Yeah, and I was sort of speechless, and I sat there and I thought about it. I had to digest it for a little bit, and I didn't. You know, I kind of begrudgingly said, I guess so. And the more I thought about that, it took me probably a year of being in this business and working with people and helping people before I finally was able to stand in front of a class that I was working with 20, 25, 30 people in it, and acknowledge to myself that I actually knew what I was doing, that I was qualified to be standing in front of that class. Now, I'm not a young kid. You know, I don't believe in giving credit where credit isn't due or taking credit for things when it isn't due. And so, you know, it's certainly older than I ever thought I was going to get.
I love it.
And that's a good thing. I'm looking for 30 more years. So
you better believe it.
I'll be up in that triple digit territory at that time. But I finally had to recognize that, yeah, you know, I didn't get a degree in economics, but by golly, I can tell you what it works with. Well, am I a CPA? No, I'm not a CPA, but I can tell you I run budgets that had lots of zeros behind them.
I like it. I like it.
I can't tell you every accounting theory that's out there, but I know when something isn't working, I know how to figure out what's going on with it. And some of it's as simple as, is it working or isn't it working?
Right. Right.
And it's amazing how blind we get into that. So, you know, it does take some time to be able to give ourselves the credit of saying, yeah, maybe I do have something to offer. Doing what you're doing is something that doesn't happen for everybody. Well, what do I have to say? You know, so all of us have some real brilliances. The question is whether we're ever going to experience them. In my mid-30s, much to my chagrin, I realized that I actually enjoyed helping people. And it was clear back to my golf experience when I taught golf back in the very late 60s. And I was stunned to find out that I really enjoyed helping. And most of them didn't get very good because at that time, most women didn't work. They had their kids and got to be 45 or 50. And then their life was about mahjong or following the husband around, taking trips or something. And,
right.
And that was when Arnold Palmer had in the decade before that begun to make golf a game for everybody and not just for the wealthy. And so these women would come out there and they're 45 or 50 into a 22-year-old kid. They all, you know, they were pretty much 1 foot in the grave at that point. But not so, but it was amazing. They have more fun doing what they do than anybody that walks on that golf course. And I believe, and that's here 50 years later, that's still true. I used to belong to one of the clubs not too far from here. And that group had more fun than all the rest of the people out there. Never got particularly good at it, but got to have fun at it. My wife belonged to the group. We were married about 40 years before she ever started to play golf.
Gotcha.
We just had a great time. So it's we have to learn how to be who we are. I mean, but everybody's got a brilliance out there, and sometimes it's a speaker, sometimes it's a coach, sometimes it's a don't ever give me anything. I watch neurosurgeons. I watch some of the people do what they do. I said, my God, I can't even imagine doing that. But you know, we're all put on this earth with particular gifts and talents. And when we really shine and really make a difference in this world, Fox, is when we use those gifts and use those talents in the way that. It was intended for them to be used. That's why we've got them.
Yes, for sure. And going back to a couple podcasts ago with Tanya Hoffman, she was telling me a story kind of like you are now. She's out at a Whole Foods market and she reads something on a bag and it reads this way. Life is not about finding yourself. It's about creating yourself. So if you're willing to go through that process of, I don't know, I made a mistake, let's fix it, you'll understand that life is an endless process of creation. And number two, the impact that we have on each other is certainly, as you know, the greatest currency we can ever have.
Yeah. You know, Tanya's a part of my story too, because when I first met her, Tony Wilkins said, why don't you call this person or connect with this person? So I did, and I joined her membership thing, and you know, she's got that larger than life personality.
She does.
And, I don't know. I'm always the kind of guy that rather make a little less noise about what I do. I love it when I'm talking to a couple, three people on it, and I don't mind. The audience is great on it, but Tanya has that big old laugh of hers, and so it took a little while for me to get to know Tanya. But I'll tell you, she's been a big help to me. In fact, I'm helping her. She was nice enough to ask me. I'll give her a little plug.
Please
if
do.
I was interested in starting a PSA, Public Speakers Association chapter. So I've got one down in the Silicon Valley area that I started last month, and I'm excited about, and I do have quite a bit of speaking experience. It's just not since the first time I participated in a real high-end speaking conference, and I realized that that was a whole lot of work. I've given up the idea that I ever wanted to be Zig Ziglar or Tony Robbins as of today.
Yes.
Much work. But I like speaking. I like doing that as long as I can, as long as I don't have to spend all that time and energy it takes to be really, really good. I like the kind of, as you know, I like this kind of a format where you can kind of be who you are and get up and talk about it, and yet at the same time pull the kind of things out of the discussion that help other people and give them the willingness to say, hey, I'm okay at this. I love watching somebody, the lights come on and you're going, huh, never thought of it that way.
Yes.
Golf was part of that. You know, anything where you help somebody grow and develop their own skills and talents, most of the time there's not much money in the reward on it, but man, when you help another human being, it doesn't get any better than that.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. There's no greater high in life.
Yeah.
No greater high. And like you, Tanya has been great to me.
Great.
Really helped me develop and given me just a platform to, like you, just to be who we are, to be who we are.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She tells you right away. And I had a great answer. I spoke at an event, and she was at the same event. The stupid microphone didn't work. And I don't know why I didn't just put it down, because I've had enough experience to put it down. But somehow I've got it in my hand, waving it around as a wand. And I got a video recording of that. And so I kind of teach her. She's like, I could take that microphone and hit you over the head with it. So I think the next time she asked me if I wanted to speak at something, I said, can I use a microphone? Yeah, she's a sweetheart, so I'm enjoying working with her. So it took me a little while to get used to her, but I love it.
Absolutely. Barney, you talk about her laugh. I mean, you have an outstanding laugh.
Do I?
Yes. Yes, it is outstanding. And hope.
Hey, if you made all the mistakes I made, Fox, you'd learn how to laugh.
I think I'm well on my way. Well, on my way. Oh dear. Well, let's have a little fun. Barney, are you ready for a game called What, Which, and Where?
All right, give it a shot.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'll read you something, and then you tell me from where it came or from who it came. So,
all right.
So let's begin with this. It reads, by changing the inner attitudes of our minds, we can change the outer aspects of our lives. Who said that?
I'll bet you could expect this, but I had that on a refrigerator for probably 25, 30 years, and then it fell off, and then I put it back up. It was William James.
Yes. And to explain, who was he?
Yep. Kind of one of those Renaissance guys, but he was a philosopher, and I think he was a psychologist or psychiatrist. I don't remember what. One of the great writers around the tail end of the 19th century, early 20th century.
Yes.
And he wrote the book, The Varieties of Spiritual Experience. I don't think that's the exact right title, but one of the great minds of that time frame.
Gotcha. You are one for one. And just to break off of that, talking about making mistakes, Barney, and psychology,
mm-hmm.
I've written down here that William James is the first educator to offer a psychology course in my research.
I didn't know that.
Here's my story. I am a junior at the University of South Carolina in a psychology course.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in a lecture hall of about 300 students. And the professor, Dr. Tucker, asks his students to give him an example of a condiment. And no one would ever raise their hands to his questions. And I just couldn't stand the silence. And I raised my hand and I said, napkins, and I meant it.
Okay.
So I've learned that napkins are not a condiment, and
nope.
And
close, though.
They're close.
You're actually wiping condiments off, right?
I mean, I'm sure you've had a hot dog at a baseball game and bit into your napkin for crying out loud. So, so from experience, I've learned that they are not a condiment. And for the rest of that semester, Barney, I was the kid on campus. Oh, you're the guy that said napkins in Dr. Tucker's class. It was not the way I wanted to get noticed.
Great.
Not the way I wanted to get noticed. So anyway, let's move on to number two of What, Which, and Where. You are now 1-for-1. And Tanya Hoffman is the only player of this game, only guest that has gotten 3 out of 3. So you'll be in good company if you at least get this next one.
Oh, man, that's a high standard.
We'll see. So the quote goes like this. We'll all get to the peak together, or we won't get there at all.
Well, this is purely a guess, so I don't think I need credit for that. That's probably Sir Hillary Edmund.
Is she an actress?
Mount Everest. Pardon me?
Is she an actress?
No, that was the first guy to ever climb Mount Everest.
Yes. Okay, I'm sorry. Yep. I misheard you. I'll read it again. We all get to all the right. peak together, or we don't get there at all.
Well, that would be it. It sounds to me like I missed that question. I'm thinking it was the guy that climbed the first guy to successfully get to the top of Mount Everest. So I'm going to stand by my answer.
Sir
Hillary Edmund.
It may be, but I have it as a quote from the movie Hidden Figures.
You know what? And I saw that picture just recently.
Yes.
Too. What a great picture.
Yes.
That might have been the part where I was focused on the popcorn.
I got you. And possibly eating a napkin as well.
That's been 2 weeks ago. For old guys, that's a long time.
It may be.
Yeah, what a great picture that was. We saw it maybe, it might have been 3 weeks ago, but it was a story I wasn't familiar with, and that's not surprising. I mean, when you take history, it just depends upon when you went to school as to what you learn about it, and sometimes it's history, and sometimes it's an interpretation, but what a phenomenal story. The interesting, when I saw a picture of I believe she was the oldest one, Johnson, I think is her name, I remembered when I saw her picture, having seen her at some kind of a ceremony or an award thing not that many years ago, and I don't know that I even remembered who she was when I was watching the picture. But boy, that's what I call persistence.
Yes.
Nothing was going to determine those three bright minds from doing what they were good at.
Right. Yeah, Hidden Figures, about three African-American ladies working at NASA, yeah. Correct?
Yep, absolutely. Fairfax, but in Virginia. That's exactly right, working in NASA, and they were a part of, they were the reason, particularly the one that was working with Kevin Costner's character, whoever he was, that was the reason they were actually able to put a person in orbit and bring them back to Earth. And I remember the dramatic part about the go or no go. If they missed the numbers that they didn't really have a formula to work out, he'd have been out there forever in space.
Got you. Yeah, it's a great picture. I have not seen it. I've just done some reading about it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. Yeah.
That's quite okay.
Yep. I got to see it.
I'll enjoy some popcorn and possibly some napkins during that picture.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Okay. The last is a little quote, and it's about persistence. What a segue into this. And it goes like this. Barney, who said, wrote, or sung this? Knockdowns, they have them in trillions, but they are married to a trait called resilience.
Once more?
Sure. Knockdowns, they have them in trillions, but they are married to a trait called resilience.
Oh, Wow. She got these three questions right?
Well, these weren't the exact three questions.
Well, you gave her the easy one. Boy, that's a good knockdown they have.
I'll say it one more time.
I would say germs, probably.
Germs? Like the band?
Yeah.
Wow, like the band that Pat Smear was in?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Barty, you are comparing me to the band Germs, and I am flattered.
Yeah, right.
I mean, Pat Smear is you know, a guy I grew up listening to because he was in the band Nirvana. But, Barney, that quote is actually from my book called Letter Kindling.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
It's from a poem called It Comes Down to the Character of the Man.
And who wrote the poem again?
Me, Fox Byer.
Oh, you wrote it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's cool. I hadn't read it. Well, I need to read your book.
That's okay. For me dragging you on the show, I will surely give you a copy of my book.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. On Limbaugh, they're giving away a 7-plus.
Wait a minute, Mark. I'll have zeros in the wrong direction.
I have your book.
Yes. I love it. My bank account will have zeros going to the left instead of the right. Oh, dear.
Yeah, I don't know what he was promoting. I guess just the Apple phone. I never did get on that part, but he was giving them away like crazy for a while.
I got you. Well, I think I probably had the most fun on that what, which, and where. So, Barney, thank you.
Yeah, you're quite welcome. On one for three. Hey, I could have made a lot of money as a baseball player. One for three.
You could have made a lot of cake, Barney. A lot of cake.
Yeah. No, we'd be. I don't know where. Let's see. What did I thought? Ty Cobb had a batting average. I saw it was .366 the other day. For some reason,
that's right.
I thought it was higher than that. .366.
Yeah, .366, 67. Mm-hmm. Boy.
Anyway.
Gotcha.
I like that part of the show.
Well, thank you. We will continue that on the next episode, people, for sure. Back by popular demand, what, which, and where.
There you go.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Now, we're going to wrap up here. I wanted to give you a scenario and let you make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned to me earlier, and you wrote this to me before, and I'll read it like this. We know all heroes do not wear a cape. You mentioned four people in your life that have had the greatest impact on you. One, your grandmother. Two, an eighth grade teacher. Three, an elderly man that became the father you never had. And four, an elderly woman that went back to school and got her doctorate at 40 years old. Barney, if you could choose one of those four people right now to take a 3-hour car ride with, who would it be and why?
Huh. Wow. Well, let's see. I got to get the analytics out of this one.
Yes. Okay.
I'd love to see my grandmother, but in the latter of the two, certainly were some of the greatest minds I was ever around, but it was the eighth grade teacher that I never saw again after I got out of junior high school. That was the difference maker for me. When I decided I was going to become class clown the first half of the eighth grade, and I went from a straight A student to flunking every single one of the classes, she drugged my mother and father over to the school in her counseling session. She said, I'm not going to let him throw his life away. And if you saw the old picture, the prime of Miss Jane Brody, the bun hairdo and the stiletto heels and that stiff as a rod posture, she scared the life out of me for some reason.
Yeah, me too. With those heels, you could pick it up and hit me with them.
So I had her for everything but gym and shop for the next 2 years. She had counseling. She had a counseling class, and then she had some kind of a, I don't know what she did in one class, but there was two classes a day where I, in both years, the rest of the years that I was her only student.
Wow.
And you can imagine what happened. I was an A student.
It turned it around.
Yep. And so probably a few years before she died, it's been a long time, I think someday I'm going to write her a thank you letter, et cetera. She happened to be a friend of mine's, one of my other great mentors in life. I guess she was, they knew each other. The lady that went to school after she was 40, got all those degrees, they ended up working together in the education system. So she knew her. And she said, why don't you write her a letter? Whether she gets it. So I did. I wrote her a letter and thanked her.
Awesome. And nothing better than a handwritten letter. You mentioned President Reagan before. I read a book that had all the numerous handwritten letters that he had wrote to people thanking them over the years. Found it fascinating.
Yeah. Well, it becomes just something that you, that, I don't know, you know, to me, I just had to do that. I don't know what I would have done in my life, but frankly, I always remember that. She said he can do anything he wants if he sets his mind to it. And class clown wasn't going to be it.
Not going to happen.
I just get the biggest kick out of it when I think about it. I mean, I almost get teared up, but at the same time, I'm not going to. Every single class except gym and shop. Ooh, geez.
I mean, it took some effort to do that.
Yeah. And she didn't have to do that. She did it for one reason. Yeah. So.
For you. For
that,
you.
That would be the one.
That would be the one. Barney, this has
and
been.
I didn't really know her, but I'd like to know more about what. I mean, I think I know why she did what she did. Because, and come to find out, when I got to know more about her, she didn't marry until late in life because she dedicated herself to the children that she taught, and it was junior high school from 12 or 13 to 15 or 16. Nothing tougher in our lives. And I was lost like a goose in the fog when I was that age.
A goose in a what?
Some would say I've been lost like that again.
Got you. Oh, dear. A goose in a bog. I love it.
A goose in the fog.
And in the fog.
Yeah, down here in the valley, you guys don't have geese in back in New Jersey, but down here in the valley, we go goose hunting.
Got you. A goose.
And they get so foggy, they don't know where they're going either.
Oh, a goose in the fog. So image of me eating a hot dog with a napkin on top of it, and then Barney as a goose in the fog.
Yeah, a goose in the fog, That describes describes the direction I had when I was 12, 13, 14 years of age.
Got you. I don't think you're alone. I don't think you're alone, and I think you've come out of it great.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. You know, it's been a wonderful experience being on your show, and I certainly wish you well in your efforts, and I thank you. You've got a talent for doing it. Tony was right. Do this.
Yes, you agree?
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, my friend. Well, I thank you for the invitation, and I look forward to working with you in the future.
Sounds great. Before we go, Barney, I do have two more questions for you. One would be, how can people get in touch with you? And two, who would you like to hear on an upcoming podcast?
Let's see. How can they get in touch with me? That's pretty easy. I'll give you my personal email. It's Barney, B-A-R-N-E-Y, at S as in Sam, M as in Mary, R as in Roger, A as in Apple, the number one, .com. Barney at smra1.com. And let's see, who would I like to hear on the next podcast? That's a really good question. Yeah. See, now you tickle the analytical part of my brain.
I actually want to hear eighth grade teacher. I know that's not possible, but I would love to have her on.
Yeah. No, it wouldn't be. So, regrettably, she passed away not too long ago. Let's see. Yeah, Tony, my goodness. I have a friend who wrote a book recently that might just love being on your show. And it's a lady in Modesto that was a part of my metamorphosis from a grumpy recruiter that had gotten to hate the business he was in to a consultant. She's a part of that story. Her name is Claudia Newcorn.
Okay.
Claudia just wrote a book that came out on Amazon. It was, I think it's already hit a bestseller list, called Zipline. Oh, my goodness. Zipline Marketing or Zipline. I think it's Zipline Marketing. I can't remember the last name, but Zipline is the key word in it. And it's all about marketing, and she deals with it from a real-life perspective. Bright, bright mind, graduate of one of the big institutions, and she's become, over the last half, six, seven, 8 years, a very dear friend, and does a little bit of what I do. She does some consulting and teaching, and she specializes in marketing. And in fact, I got the opportunity to actually write a foreword for her in the book, and I was honored at that. So I know she would, I would be stunned if she wouldn't be thrilled to be on your show.
Need to get Claudia on here. That's a great suggestion. Thank you, Barney.
And I will give her I'll send her an email suggesting exactly that and telling her that you asked who I would suggest. And we're still are friends, still work together on occasion. And boy, she's great. She's really, really good. And she got a great sense of humor too.
Good, as you know,
most of my friends do. They don't stay friends very long. Right, so I'll do that.
Got to left. Thank you, Barney. It's been an absolute blast.
Thank you, Fox. I wish you all the luck in the world, and I wish you some good weather too. Get in a month or two, and you'll see some bare ground.
Oh dear.
You have a great one.
You too. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, people, that will wrap up episode number 9 of the What's Your Inspiration podcast. Barney and I will talk at you all later. Take good care.
You have been listening to the What's Your Inspiration podcast with Fox Beyer. Because impact on each other is the greatest currency you could ever have.
Wisdom. It was me and the boss man taking a ride, murky and dark as we looked outside. And so, to make our connection, he turned and he asked me a question. He said, if you had one wish and nothing more, what would it be that you'd ask for? For a minute I sat and I wondered, and then he began his out loud ponder. He said, a lot of us are drawn to material, but I know something I long to feel. It's not just experience, it's insight. It's taking notes on even the past hindsight. It's a must for any man. I must get it however I can. If I had a bag, I'd toss you some. Oh, how I long for a daily dose of wisdom.